Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
Another listener request show for you. Today we're using pumpkin seeds and spaghetti squash. And also a famous author, sustainability activist, and farmer stops by the studios for a conversation. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
It may have been cheesy, but pork, the other white meat, was an effective marketing tool for the National Pork Board for 25 years. Earlier this month, though, the NPB decided it was time to change their slogan to one that doesn't rely on a comparison with the poultry industry. The new slogan is, "Pork, be inspired." The NPB will spend $11 million to promote the new campaign through print and broadcast advertising, public relations, social media, and food service marketing. Last week, the USDA revoked the accreditation of two organic producers, Certified Organic Inc., or COI, and Guaranteed Organic Certification Agency, or GOCA. The USDA said GOCA would overlook it when producers would violate organic standards. COI, on the other hand, has been accused of failing to do much more, including not verifying organic system plans against the actual practices of their certified operations. Organic food in the U.S. is a $21.1 billion industry. It's the second largest in the world and is expected to grow 11.9% by 2015. And even the richest among us are having to pinch pennies these days. According to recent data by American Express Business Insights, fast food restaurants saw a 4% increase in fast food by its most affluent customers in 2010. Quote, "No one will do without their iPhone or iPad, and very few people want to forego travel, but there are other categories that are not priorities," said Milton Pedraza, the CEO of the Luxury Institute. He adds that particularly when it comes to dining, people have been making trade-offs. For more news updates like this, follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
Wendell Berry has made his name as an author of some 60 books of fiction, nonfiction, and poetry. As an activist, he's been vocal in his opposition to war, nuclear and coal power, and industrial farming. He's also been a vocal supporter of small farms, connection to place, and what he calls good work. He has called his 117-acre farm in the Kentucky River Valley home since 1965.
You realize that living from your own place, eating food from your own place, makes you one flesh, so to speak, with that place. You are made of your place.
Berry has had a unique perspective on things, watching the world change from before World War II until the present day. He comments that before the war, people relied on their communities to survive. Now we tend to look outside our intimate world in order to subsist.
So what we've done because of cheap fossil fuel and therefore cheap long-distance transportation is to substitute a life that was economically intimate, coming from known sources, to a life that is commercial and remote from its sources, and therefore, in a fundamental way, ignorant and unfeeling.
He comments on cities. How do we develop sustainable cities? By paying attention to the tributary landscapes and surrounding communities.
If we're going to have sustainable cities, then we're going to have people who are of a lot more knowledgeable than they now are about the network of living creatures and non-living creatures that is life-sustaining. Living creatures plus rainfall, plus the flow of water and the storing of water in the watershed, plus the rocks.
He calls himself not only an agricultural critic, but a cultural critic. He came to this out of necessity, he says, because he saw that industrial agriculture was running a debit column that wasn't being acknowledged. But you can't be a critic by simply collecting things that seem to demand griping about.
One has also to be a proper critic, to search out the examples of good work, good land use, of simple goodness that can give you some kind of standard of judgment, along with the ecological health that is also an inescapable standard of judgment. And I think that there is an increasing number of people who know this too, who are familiar with examples of good work. And this is the inevitable source of hope.
Wendell Berry is an author, philosopher, and farmer. He was recently awarded a National Humanities Medal by President Obama. You can read and listen to the complete conversation with Wendell Berry on our website, eartheats.org. All right, Chef Bob, what do you got for me?
Okay, today we're going to make a really simple snack or topping for a salad or even a topping for a soup. We're going to toast and then candy pumpkin seeds. Now everybody knows pumpkin seeds from when they were growing up. You scoop it out of the jack-o'-lantern and you put this glob on a pan, you throw it in the oven and it comes out and it's kind of fun to do, but then you bite into them and they're all fibrous and really not as good as you imagine. So what we're going to do today is we're going to take pumpkin seeds that are grown specifically for consumption. We've got these great green-colored pepinos, and so the pumpkins are grown specifically for the pumpkin seeds. You get the pumpkin seed oil, the pumpkin seed, you get pumpkin seed flowers, stuff like that. So what you do is you start with a nice heavy bottom pan, put it on a medium-high heat, let it get really hot. We're not going to use any oil or any fat. After your pan's hot, you're going to add the seeds, dry seeds, directly to the pan, and you're going to toast them. You can crank up the heat if you're watching it.
That's crazy. Nothing in the pan.
Nothing in the pan. A lot of things work well without putting anything in a pan. Mushrooms are another great thing that you roast without any fats. They don't stick. You get a really good flavor. And if you just put a little salt and pepper on, so you can hear them popping. So they're going to start to pop, they're going to start to brown, which is a good thing. That's why you want your pan really hot. You don't want to scorch, you want to keep tossing them, kind of like you do popcorn. What that's doing is that's actually cooking the fibers that throwing in the oven doesn't actually do. So after you get some nice color to them, you're going to turn the heat down just a little bit. We're going to add some sugar to them, enough to cover the top of them. They're going to be pretty sweet. Then you're going to put in a hefty pinch of crushed red chili flakes. Then a nice big pinch of kosher salt, nice big pinch of pepper. You want to get it off before the sugar burns. So have a sheet tray or a cookie tray nearby. And you're just going to put them out onto the sheet tray. It gets a little smoky. What I like to do when they're still hot is just put a little extra sprinkling of sugar just over the top just to coat them a little bit. That's if you're going to do it as a snack. If you're going to do it as a salad topping, you just kind of spread them out. And then when they're all cool, the sugar will harden again. It's really difficult not just to eat them as they are. But if you can wait, they make really good garnishes.
Chef Bob Atkins is the executive chef at Farm Bloomington. Check out the recipe for this most addictive dish on our website. And submit photos of your kitchen creations on our Flickr page. From eartheats.org, scroll down to the bottom right and click Add Your Photos. As I said when we sent out a call to you, our listeners, a few months ago to ask what ingredients you wanted us to cook with, many of you mentioned spaghetti squash. This is an easy recipe that takes no time whatsoever and is awfully flavorful. That, and it's gluten-free.
Okay, and you can see how when we pull these seeds out, though these little strings almost like spaghetti that come out. Okay, and that's why they call it, obviously, spaghetti squash. And the best way to get the seeds out of the pulp is to put them in a bowl, fill the bowl with cold water, and then all you do is you just kind of go like this and all the seeds will come off the interior, and then you can just roast them or fry them or however you want to use them. Okay, what I usually do is throw them in my compost and then hopefully they'll come up next year.
Exactly.
So, you know, you get a lot of volunteers and, you know, coming up in the funniest little places. Okay, and then what you do is you could rub this a little bit of oil or not, put your spaghetti squash cut side down, put about a half inch of water in there, and then roast it in the oven for about 40 to 45 minutes. And then you can just take a fork, and you could even serve this as a bowl, like spaghetti, and then put some Parmesan cheese on it. So I've got one that I've already cooked, but this one I roasted whole. When you roast it whole, you need to stick it with a knife a couple times so it doesn't explode. And you can even cook this in the microwave. The same thing, you'd want to pierce it with a knife. And then it takes about 10 minutes in a microwave. So again, it's another one of those things that you can cook really simply. And a lot of times what I'll do is when I cook it like this, I'll just cut out a little window into it and open it up. Okay, scrape out the seeds. All right, and then you just take your fork and go around, pull all the squash out, and you want just kind of rake it. You don't want to break those strands up too much. Okay, we'll pull that into a bowl. Okay, and then you can season it with whatever you like. If you like red sauce, anything that you would do with spaghetti. What I'm going to do is toss it with some Parmesan cheese, a little salt, chopped garlic, a little lemon zest, a little pepper, maybe a little crushed red pepper flakes. Okay, and then I'm going to use some truffle oil, but you could just use regular extra virgin olive oil. This is where you would use a good olive oil. And toss this up, and then you could stuff it back into the shell, garnish it with a little bit of parsley, maybe a little sprinkle of Parmesan on top, and you've got a really nice spaghetti squash dinner that all your gluten-free friends can enjoy.
And then when you're done using the spaghetti squash shell as a bowl, tie a string through it and hang it as a bird feeder. Just in time for spring. How about that? Check out photos and leave us a comment on how you liked the recipe on our website. And if you want to check out other listener request recipes, listen to our All Eggplant episode and the recent Winter Greens episode. It's all available to you on our website, eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
Production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.